This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Guest in this half hour is Judith Bijou. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's written a book called Attitude Reconstruction. Jude, welcome to the show.
So glad to be here, Dave. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, tell us a little bit about your book and who it's meant for and why you wrote it and what's going on in society today.
Okay. Well, I wrote the book because I always had that desire to be happy. I wasn't, and I knew I should be. And so I really spent my life trying to find what those missing pieces are. I was looking for a manual and didn't get it. And between a scientific background and getting involved in meditation many years ago, together with becoming a psychotherapist and dealing with real-life people, what I started to see was that unexpressed emotions were really behind mine and all of our unhappiness. And so what I learned is if we start to deal with those emotions a little differently, we can shift and start feeling more of the emotions of joy, love, and peace. And that's what the book explains, exactly, systematically, how we can feel better, how we little things, little steps we can take to change our mood.
Well, obviously the book resonates with people because you've won a number of awards for this book, haven't you?
Absolutely. It was a long time in the process of writing it, and what happens is it's exactly that. It does resonate because it's so practical and simple. People say to me, I already knew this, but they'd never seen it written down and so clear in terms of really practical steps to change the way they think or how to communicate. We just weren't taught those kind of things in school, and so there's just been very good reception.
Now, you mentioned a couple things. You mentioned that you were not happy in your life, and you spent, you know, a lot of your life looking for this happiness. What percentage of the population seems to be doing this?
I think that we all have that same thing. I think mine was very strong, but we all have a sense of how we think we should be able to feel. It's how we were as a child. We didn't really have any cares. And that we want to, you know, it shouldn't have to be rocket science. We want to get back to having those kind of feelings. And I really think that most of us, you know, as a therapist, a licensed marriage and family therapist, I've never had a client come in and say, I want to feel worse. Everybody says, I want to feel better. What I'm doing isn't serving me, or I don't know how to handle these situations. But I think that's just really something that comes, you know, after we take care of those very basic needs of, you know, shelter and food and so on, that we're really looking to have a better quality of life, to feel better inside and to have that spread out into our world.
It was interesting when you said that about, you know, we're looking for that sense of being like we were when we were children, where we didn't have a care. And, you know, it's what happens as we grow up that we kind of lose that sense of not having a care?
Well, it goes back to my premise, which is it's that unexpressed emotion, the unexpressed sadness, anger, and fear. When we were little kids, you know, we didn't have language, and we just cried when we were unhappy, or when we just had a temper tantrum when we couldn't have a cookie. And that was okay, but very quickly, you know, by the time we're like a couple of years old, 1, 2 years old, we have already started to get message from our parents about what's appropriate to express and what emotion is not appropriate. And each time that we suppress our emotions, we take it inside, we've got to compensate in some ways. And those habits that we've developed are what are causing us to perpetuate more sadness, more anger, more fear, and keep us away from feeling like we did when we were young and carefree.
How do we, okay, so as parents then, you know, if we're trying to keep our children feeling that sense of carefree, I guess, you know, to some degree, what are we doing wrong as a society in raising our children?
Well, I think we're delivering to them the same messages that our parents and our society gave us, and that is, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. girls aren't pretty when they're angry. Don't be a scaredy cat. Don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. We got a lot of messages that told us it wasn't okay. And so we took those on. We needed to fit in. And we took those in, and those are, as I said, that's what's causing us the problem. And that we can learn to handle those. It's, well, the handling our anger doesn't mean I get to lash out and tell everybody what I think of them. That's not what a little child does. It's starting to move that energy physically. Because what I found when I really looked at it, the word emotion is really E-motion, energy in motion. And that those emotions of sadness and anger and fear are really physiologies in the body. It's pure sensation. And if we'll just keep out of our heads and start to deal with that energy, move it out of our body, then we can start to make the changes or find that our mood shifts. And so, like, for something like, that means for crying, rather than not crying, when we feel sad, when we have hurts or when we have losses, it's okay. We have to remind ourselves, it's okay to cry. It's okay. And we don't go, oh, I'm such a bad person for crying. We just go, it's okay. I'll be all right. I just need to cry for a few minutes. It's okay. I just broke up with my boyfriend or whatever the occasion. It's all right to cry. So it's giving ourselves permission to express that sadness rather than stifling it.
Okay, and so I can get that. I can get the crying bit. But what about, you know, for children that are angry, that are lashing out, how do we deal with that? Obviously, they're upset about something.
Exactly. And what we need to do is let them do what they did when they before they were verbal. And that is, they, like, had a temper tantrum. They flopped down on the floor, and they screamed and yelled. Their face got really, really red. And they pounded, and they just, you know, lashed out. And what happened, if the parents don't interrupt them, if they just take them someplace safe and let them do that, the energy, we can't do that forever. You know, if we're in a room, you know, we might, you know, throw something around or whatever. But at some point, the energy shifts. If we're in a safe place and we just allow ourselves to move that energy, so that for children and adults, that means I set a safe zone. It could be a bathroom or garage, back bedroom, or even in the car, and find a way to move that energy out. Like, one really good way is to just push against a wall. Or push against that door jamb and just make sounds like, oh, because again, it's energy we have to move out of our body. So once again, we could push, we could just stomp, a lot of good stomping, and no, and just stomp around for literally 2 minutes. Will shift the energy. I mean, we say, oh, I'll feel silly, but I'll also feel so much better. So it could, there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. I'll sometimes have people with a plastic hose, a flexible plastic hosing, like a plumbing hosing, hit old phone books. And it feels so satisfying to have permission of the pages fly and makes all this noise. And I get hot and sweaty, and I feel better. It's like, okay, all of that energy, all of that anger, all that frustration has gone. Not because I've pounded or pushed or stomped or yelled and go, you know, how come you're like that and you're an idiot? No, I've just named it. I just feel angry or just made sounds. Oh! And in just a short period of time, that energy really moves out of the body. And we're replaced with more calmness and more positive feelings.
I know when I get stressed or I get into a that feeling that, you know, I want to pound somebody or pound something. I got to go do some exercise. Like you said, I got to get it out.
Yes.
Is exercise a good way of doing that?
Well, see, you have half of it because you know you have to get it out. But I say you never find a child that says, oh, I'm so angry, I'm going to go, hold on, Mom, I'm going to go for a run. That's not what they do. That energy of that, of all of the emotions, is wild. So we have to have a place where it's safe. So maybe if you're kicking a soccer ball or something like that, you know, pushing, but it's not like a repetitive motion like running or biking or something. You'll get a little bit of that energy out, but not the depth of when we just really let go and just focus all of that energy in a safe place.
In your bio, or in the information that was sent to me, the University of Michigan found that Facebook use results in declining happiness over time. What is contributing to that?
Well, I did read the article because I'm interested in this topic of happiness. And what I think happens there is that the more we're on Facebook and we're hearing about all these glorious adventures and accomplishments of others, the worse we feel about ourselves, so that our self image starts to decline because we start to compare ourselves. So I'd say just in moderation, if we're going to do that, social media, which is just, of course, so popular now, but not too much of it, and not especially when we're feeling down on ourselves. Not a good time to see how lovely everybody else seems to be doing.
I should almost start a site called Dumpbook where people could dump all their feelings.
Yes. Yes, that would be a good idea. But I would rather have them, and before they get on social media, handle their emotions. You know, go and have that little hissy fit somewhere safe. You know, go, you know, chop down something really hard, push against something, so that then they can write something positive and uplift rather than try to one-up people or something like that.
In terms of happiness, is there any relationship between what's going on in our mind and reality?
Absolutely, because we are, you know, we're run for most of us by what's going on, what our thinking is. And if I go around and tell myself, oh, I'll never get anywhere, what's wrong with me, or, you know, I'm freaking out. Oh my gosh, I've got so much to do. Or whatever it is, or it's like those people shouldn't be like that. That kind of thinking, entertaining what I call destructive thoughts, thoughts that don't make us feel better but only make the ruts deeper, will be reflected in how we feel. Like if I go around saying, you know, well, people shouldn't be like that, drivers shouldn't drive like that, when I get to my destination, I don't feel calm. Now, the next person, they're not thinking, oh, drivers should be different. They're going, oh, what lovely scenery, or whatever. Oh, gosh, I'm looking forward to seeing this person I'm visiting. The difference, the same experience, but the difference is, in one case, we've thought thoughts that encouraged more of those emotions. And another, we've thought thoughts that uplift us, make us feel more of those emotions of joy, love, and peace. And that we have a choice. We can really root out all of that thinking that isn't serving us to be happy and start to replace it little by little. There I said it again. Okay, got too much to do. I'll never get it all done. What's wrong with me? And I'll replace it. Oh, well, there I am thinking that. I'm giving it my best shot. One thing at a time. I'm doing my best.
We're talking with Jude Bijou. She has written a book called Attitude Reconstruction. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out how you can reconstruct your attitude.